The following is a presentation of the Control Trends Podcasting Network.
Welcome to Control Talk Now, your smart buildings podcast with Ken Smyers and Eric Stromquist. Control Talk Now, your source for control news you can use. And now, here is Eric.
Cast and podcast for the week ending December 6th, 2019. That's the first time I had a chance to say that this year. This is episode 298, where we talk about all things smart controls and all really cool events like the one that's coming up. So to help me with this, let's bring on your co-host and mine for the first time in 2019, the man, the myth, the legend, the one, the only. He's not getting older, he's getting better. Kenny Smyers, the control man from Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. Kenny, welcome to the show, big dog.
Well, thank you very much, Eric. You've blown so much smoke on me. I don't know where to go, but straight ahead, look at the camera and smile. Welcome to 2019. It's going to be a great year. We've already got so many episode events and things happening, and we're just in full flux for the show. I'm happy to report that today was another successful day. Everything's falling and in favor of the Control Trends Awards. This weather is going to be fabulous. It's going to be a sunny day, high of 45 degrees, and it should be great travel for people coming to the show.
A sold out show.
As we mentioned, it's unfortunate that there's not going to be any empty, or there's not going to be any open room, any seats, and I'm concerned that we made. The appeal for us to have a Control Trends Award show has come through the sponsors as being basically the caretakers and the stewards of the tickets because of just the way the control shows set up. Maybe next year in Orlando, we can sell individual tickets and people can come in and sit in general seating. But this thing's set up as a banquet, and it's a very head count event. It's like a wedding. Everything is now it's precision, and so we apologize.
It's top hat, baby. The reason it's that way is because we have great food, great drinks, great entertainment. All the superstars are going to be there. If you haven't connected with a sponsor yet, that's the way to get in the show. Some of our sponsors might still have tickets. So platinum sponsors like Honeywell, Johnson, Siemens, you can reach out to those folks. The platinum sponsors are on the right-hand side of the Control Trends website.
Belimo, Kelly, and then we got gold sponsors. And so there's a lot of tickets out there, but you need to kind of, marry up to the person that you do your business right with.
And make sure you can always go to StubHub.com. I understand they're going for about $1,500 a piece on StubHub. Even about that. But Kenny, listen, sort of a detail for our audience, me being from Atlanta, I sort of have an inside track on this. The Fox Theater is not far at all from where you're probably staying, right? It's what they call Midtown Atlanta, which is a couple of clicks north of downtown Atlanta and the event site. So everybody in Atlanta knows the Fox Theater. So my advice to you is to get to the show. Just get in an Uber, tell them you want to go to the Fox Theater. That's all you have to do.
Right, and there is an address. There's two physical addresses that you may have seen in correspondence from us, but the 660 Peachtree Street Northeast, Atlanta, Georgia, 30308. That's 660 Peachtree Street Northeast, Atlanta, Georgia. But as Eric said, the Fox Theater, every cab driver, every Uber driver, everybody in Atlanta is going to take you to the right place.
Right. And so, Kenny, what time do the doors open? Let's talk our people through what's going to happen on Sunday night.
I'd love to, Eric. The EZIO event will be from 5:30 to 6:30. And that'll be in the antechamber. It'll be in the Grand Salon right next to in front of the Egyptian Ballroom. The actual event is in the Egyptian Ballroom, and that begins at – the doors will open there at 6:15. So, we'll accommodate as many early birds as possible. And we always welcome people to be in early because then we can get a process. We're going to have 340 people and we're going to have to, in process them as well as possible at the time. We've made provisions for them. But it's exciting because we're going to have a red carpeted area and we're going to have some really neat things to look at on the way into the show. But I think what we've said, and we're going to encourage everybody, is once you get in, grab a drink at the bar and find your seats.
Sit down, yeah.
because the show's going to start. They're going to start seeing the music. It's going to start being played, you know, right away. 6:15.
Right. And even though we got a full crowd, this is a very spacious area. So you're not going to be crowded. You're going to be super comfortable. I mean, visually, the Egyptian ballroom is absolutely stunning. It's like, so you're going to step back in time and history. It's one of the most beautiful spaces we've had. So it's going to be great. I would say if you're thinking about going to the EZIO event and you haven't already told them, you need to reach out to Gina Elliott, because that is by invitation only. And I'm sure they'd be willing to invite you, but they will be checking people at the door and to get into their event. So anyway, enough of that, Kenny. It's going to be a great show. And I tell you what, anything else before we bring our guest on?
No, please visit the website, controltrends.com or .org. We've got some great posts, but the emphasis will be on our guests, because we've got a very interesting lineup of questions and answers.
Right, and it's kind of like the dynamic duo from Canada. They're kind of like Batman and Robin. They're kind of like Spider-Man and Superman, right? So without further ado, bring the dynamic duo on, if you will, Kenny.
All right. We have Ken St. Clair, the owner-editor of Automated Buildings, and we have Brad White, president of SES Consulting. Welcome to the show, guys.
Welcome to the show, guys.
Thank you very much.
Thanks.
Well, Brad, it's been a while since we've seen you. You know, we've been keeping up with Ken for some time, but tell our community a little bit what you've been up to outside of straight in Parliament out in Canada. What else have you been doing?
Well, mostly been trying to change the world one project at a time up here, but really big focus on getting things going with we're doing a big push up here in electrification, so trying to convert all of our buildings away from natural gas and other carbon emitting fuels over to our abundant clean electricity. So that's one thing we've been really focusing on. And of course, always trying to bring the advanced controls along with it.
How's that going? I'm curious. I mean, the right away, that throws a question in my mind. It's got to be a straight uphill battle, isn't it? Or are people receptive to changing over to electrification versus?
There's been, with 2 or 3 years ago, if you had asked me that question, I would have said, yeah, we've got a huge hill to climb. No question. There's still a big uphill climb, but definitely a lot more folks receptive to it.
Cool.
A lot of clients, public and private sector, coming to us now and saying, hey, we're interested in doing something about our carbon emissions. And that's amazing. Been a real change. And, great for us. It's been one of our core values for a long time.
Well, that's fantastic. Fantastic. And Elon Musk has got to be a big fan of that. So he's got to be a poster child for you guys, right?
Gotta love the stuff that he's doing.
Now, listen, before we get started, and I hope this won't influence how the temperament of this call goes, but do you know that Ken St. Clair has been saying you're no longer a young gun, you're too old to be a young gun?
Emeritus.
Yeah. Well, you know what? When I was actually having this conversation earlier today with someone, but I look around at some of our employees now, and I'm like, oh, there's more than a few years now between me and some of the folks that we're hiring, and it was a good decade now or more. So I'm right there with you guys. I think the young guns thing is not necessarily the best title for me anymore.
No.
It wasn't a guarantee.
Yeah, you're a millennial, and I think we got the many millennials, so we'll have to start talking about how to handle the many millennials from a millennial's perspective. So,
totally.
Well, all right, Ken St. Clair, January issue's out. Tell our community a little bit about what's in the January issue.
Well, it's all about open, and open 2019, and we're basically looking that everything is moving towards open. As Brad mentioned, he's going to have some sessions at AHR. We're just seeing a big change in the world. We're starting to see all of the majors are starting to acknowledge that open exists. And we're starting to see the more than majors, I guess, the Googles and the Amazons are struggling as to what their definition of open is. And basically throwing sand in each other's gears, trying to become the dominant open platform for us all. So it's an interesting time, very interesting.
So the open proprietary platform, is that what they're fighting over?
I think so, which of course, yeah, that exactly, an open proprietary platform. Yes, that's exactly it. Except they, amazingly enough, some of this stuff actually does work with each other, and we're getting crossover, and we're getting people who basically zip out and through some open software come back in again and have circumvented the sand that they attempted to put in their gears. So it's kind of fun stuff for sure.
Well, I think as it applies to our industry, it's always fun to see your theme and some of the things you say, because you're one of the few people in the position that has the you know, the experience and really knows the inside of the development of our industry and how it progressed and how certain barriers were put into place and finally they were overcome and then another barrier was put into place. And the idea is, of course, for a manufacturer that invests all their money and they handle and control the sale of as much product and software as they can for as long as they can, hence the transition into the protocol, proprietary protocols, into the BACnet proprietary protocols, into the BACnet open, to the BLT BACnet version, so that we finally started getting some real instances of open components. And then we saw the Swiss Army Knife of framework was the Niagara framework that came out, and since the Niagara 4 really took openness to a new level. And but I think there's still a significant amount of important vendors that will not go willingly into that open night. They're going to do everything they can to maintain a proprietary hold. Now, branches being one entity and other entities, other manufacturers, do you really think that this being 2019, do you think we'll see them come into the open world willingly, or only still reluctantly, as been the case in the past?
I see it as, because I'm the old man in the room, I guess, and like you say, I've seen this all happen before. It, to me, it doesn't look hardly any different at all than the transition from pneumatics to DDC. Basically, the majors dragged their feet until they were forced by the DDC contractors to basically come around, and this was an actual serious technology, and they had to get involved. So they ended up buying companies and moved into that transition. Then we had the BACnet open. It was the same thing. They were not leaders in that. They all dragged their feet until the independents basically made the BACnet open work. And once they did that and started getting market share, they were forced to basically open up to BACnet and sort of support it, although even now they're still not really good supporters of it. And then, of course, the next step in that was basically the moving of IT to all of this. And it's been the same thing. It's been a fight. They've been basically struggling. And I thought it was interesting in one of the interviews that Brad did with his folks on his panel, they brought up the words proprietary dragons, and I thought that was pretty funny. So basically have these proprietary dragons, and they've got their universities and their hospitals and their stuff behind them, and as soon as these open independents come, they breathe on them. But the problem is they've got these dragons have bigger dragons breathing on their trail, on their tails, and this is what's sort of happening with Google and Amazon and a bunch of other open movements are starting to starting to come. I think what's happened, just like in those other industries, we learn from home. It's always kind of funny that we learn how to do our job from home, and it's the same thing. Our phones have become so powerful, and they do so many things, and they cross so many platforms, that we ask our vendors to do that, and within their proprietary realm, they can't do it because they just cannot develop software that fast and products and stuff. So they're limited. And Brad points out in his interview this month, he talks about that for some of his smaller clients, he's mobilized. They want, $50,000 to add a stat pack to their proprietary system. And so he basically does some guerrilla warfare with open systems and is able to, to work around. Yeah, and so anyway, well, I don't see it as a big difference than what we had through all of those other iterations of DDC, BACnet, IT. It's just another stage.
Well, I want to ask Brad a question in a second, but I want to make a comment. There's something very ironic here, because if you think about the only true open system that we ever had was pneumatics. And how did people compete back in the days of pneumatics, right? Because it was, air was the network and you could mix and match, but yet they all managed to compete back then. So it seems like we've gone away from truly open once the DDC came around. But that being said, Brad, when you talk to your clients, how educated are they on open, and how do you as a consultant guide them so they get truly opened and not get dragged?
I would say that generally they're not that well educated on it. I mean, they know about BACnet. We've got a big support for BACnet here with the vendors locally. So yeah, that's been a thing for a while, and most of our clients know enough to know that, okay, whatever we have has got to be BACnet. It's open protocols. But beyond that, not really any awareness of the new, like all the new open. So you're talking about actually truly open source hardware and software that is, multi-vendor and open to anyone. I would say there's almost zero awareness of that among our clients.
Does that make your job harder then?
I just don't talk about it that way. Rather than trying to educate them about open, it's more about, well, this is what we want to do. We're going to use an open solution to do that. This is why it's to your advantage, because then we don't have to spend $50,000 on buying a proprietary solution when we can do it for a couple thousand with an open solution. And it will get you, what you need for this job. And so, you kind of talk about it in a way that sort of emphasizes the benefits to them and why they'd want to do it. I mean, at the end of the day, they don't really care about the philosophy of open. That doesn't matter to them as much as, what they actually get out of it on a project-by-project basis.
Well, if we continue on this path, we're going to bog ourselves into it's like pulling the rope. But I think 2019, I think Ken St. Clair says in his editorial, and this is going to be, and Mark Pitok reiterated too, this is a year of change. This is a year we're going to see much more advanced adoption of technology or implementation of technology versus, I think people, this is a transition point or a tipping point or what do you call it, whatever point you want to do, an inflection point. But we're going to see things happening because, as Ken, you say in your next thing, we open to growing younger because we're seeing a transition of the people controlling our industry, the baton's passing back to people that just simply can't comprehend a closed system, because so much of what they want to do and so many of the technology gains and benefits are tied into an open, open environment. Let's speak to your, how can we be open growing younger comment?
Well, actually I was just going to interrupt Brad but I always do that so often. I decided to hold quiet this time, but actually when I was watching the consulting firm from afar, not far enough for their point of view, but from afar. And I was worried that they didn't know any of the neat stuff that I knew. And I was wondering how they were going to put this all together. And the answer is they did it their way. And it is completely different than anything I ever imagined. And open to them is just another tool. They know how to use open. They probably don't know as well as I did how to use some of these proprietary systems. And I think in that point of view, it became an advantage. And so what I see them is I see them huddling and I see them sharing ideas and going new directions. I find it very exciting to look through their eyes, and I can almost grasp what they're talking about. But it's because they grew up in a digital age, and their mind's not plugged up with pneumatics, DDC systems, and Fortran, and all the things that we had to do to get where we are.
There's nothing for them to unlearn, huh?
Pardon? Yeah.
To forget it.
But the biggest thing of looking through your younger mentor's eyes is that you can quickly unlearn that. Unlearn is probably not the best word, but detach from all of your experience and slip into a digital world and just see how they look at it. Just watch how they use their phones. Watch how they interact with each other. Watch how
hang on a second. Yeah, they don't interact with each other anymore. My wife, if I want to talk to her, I have to text her. Come on now. I mean,
isn't that an interaction?
Well, it is. Not the kind that I'm kind of going for, but it is an
interaction. But it ends that whole she said, he said, because it's all we can always just read the text
Ken,
string.
Ken, you've been married a long time. You know it never, ever ends the he said, she said. It's always the she said, right? So, all right.
Well, no, I get your point. And so the interesting aspect is, as Brad mentioned, you're trying to change your environment. You're trying to go from, you know, dependency on fossil fuels and all the negative externalities that causes. You got some great movement and adoption of electrification of Canada. And then you work it through your new systems that when you get a chance to put an open system together, it results in the latest technology at a lower price. How's that package you think going to be adopted across North America? In other words, not to start a problem with vendors or whatever, but you know that clearly flies in kind of a, I don't want to say in contrary to the way our business model is established now. How do you take that platform on a national basis, or is that kind of like a one to one, or you know maybe a city by city? Do you think a vendor is ever going to have an opportunity to take your concept and apply it nationally or maybe even globally?
Who do you want to answer
both
that?
Both of you, because I think
at the same time?
Well, flip a coin.
Okay, I'll take it. I'll take the first cut at it. Okay. Yes, I think it is happening, and the binding things are, you know, Microsoft starting to think open and starting to make a lot of their stuff open, and people starting to use that database. And probably Brad can name a whole bunch of other open databases, you know, and GitHubs and all kinds of things that the funny things these kids talk about today. And the tools of their day are so different. And the young people are infiltrating the proprietary vendors, and they very, very well understand why this needs to be open. And again, as I mentioned, we have this movement of Google and Amazon and Apple and all of these folks that have big databases and are able to do amazing things. So that's pushing it. And Smart City, I'm glad you mentioned that, because Smart City is accelerating, and the connection to building automation. And I think Smart City is going to smack them right on the nose, because they're going to ask for open IT standards. They still, you know, they still kind of, BACnet is good stuff for us to use within the buildings, but it's not, it's, you know, whether it's going to be, it's not going to be the absolute bottom network of a smart city. It's going to be possibly one of the networks, but certainly not the lead network. So anyway, I think that's sort of the direction that's going. Could you maybe fill in all the holes as you usually do, Brett?
Okay, well, maybe I'll offer a bit of a different take on that. I mean, even today, we still interface our DDC systems with pneumatics. Like that is common and happens all the time. So it's not like suddenly a brand new packaged, beautiful, perfect open system is going to swoop in and replace the established vendors. I mean, that's not going to happen. What's going to happen is little pieces are going to start to be chipped away at it. So we may have an open archiving solution that starts to replace historians or things like that. We may start to use products to take the data up to the cloud, put it into an open database, then do analytics in the cloud rather than using proprietary analytics solution. We may start to do logic in the cloud and send that information back into the building, thereby starting to eliminate some of the proprietary control programming and sequence of operations that today lives in the controllers. So it's going to be little pieces that start to get chipped away that are replaced by something that's much more open. I don't think it's not about, coming in and totally displacing the vendors, but, incrementally, there's going to be shifts, I think, that start to eat away at some of the stuff that
granted, and I always appreciate that. We got to keep our feet on the ground and not get carried away with the swiftness of technology, because it is fast, but it doesn't happen quite like that. But the thing that I'm thinking about is more in the specifications. We saw some fabulous progress where we took our specifications of 23, 25, 26 or whatever, and we're starting to see this MSI influence that comes in providing general contractor style control over the integration of all the operational technology and on the IT side. So they're bringing that prowess to bear. And we're seeing the most progressive engineers that I've come in contact with, and Eric, correct me if I'm wrong, but we're just starting to see these engineers understand that concept. But what I think you're proposing and what Ken's saying too is that's not even swift enough. That's not fast enough for the real pot of gold at the end of the rainbow. Ken, you want to intervene?
Yeah, I just want to make some points that are quick and related to this. In our January article, we have a great article by Scott Cochran, which you guys know well. He's the third opening speaker. It's Brad, Scott and myself are opening the open session, our opening session at AHR. And his thing is that it's going to be bumpy. And he's also saying that his MSIs, the greatest skill they have to learn is they basically have to learn the IT skills, and they also have to provide those IT skills. So it's changing the industry, and the people that are able to change in the industry are thriving. The people who are not changing, I'm not so sure what's going to happen to them. So I think that's another thing. And again, those are just little increments. And then on the other side of the page, we've got Calvin is writing about the hardware, and we've been pushing about back and forth a couple of emails. And this whole idea of these little microcomputers, which of course I grew up in a time of microprocessors and thought they were amazing. Microcomputers are even more amazing, smaller. They start to appear in everything. So he's basically talking about putting the laptop into an edge controller. So the whole thing is, my next article is, the open road is going to be bumpy, edgy, but mindful. So I think we got all these things going on. So there's a lot of transitions happening.
Well, before we get to the mindfulness, which I think would be something we definitely want to talk about, I had a teacher once who said there are two types of change. There's a structural change and there's cyclical change. Cyclical change being like the stock market goes up and down, women's ties get skinnier, fatter. And your strategy in a cyclical change is you just wait until the cycle changes, right? You try to time the cycle. The structural change is like when the car was invented. It didn't matter how good a horse and buggy you had. At some point in time, you were going to be out, right? I think when the computer came around, it was just a matter of time before the typewriter went out. My question for you guys, vis-a-vis smart building controls, do you think we're in the midst of a structural change, or do you think this is more of a cyclical type thing?
I think it's a structural change. I think it's like I keep saying, it's as significant as DDC.
Yeah.
That will, like I grew up in the DDC era. Brad is growing up in the open era, and it's not such a transition because he missed all of that other that 50 years of history. He comes into it and he just understands all the pieces that are around him. And the best way to navigate his way through all those pieces is to use open software. And he knows how to do that because he's got his phone and he's got all these apps on him and he does all kinds of neat things at home. Why wouldn't I be able to do that for my client? And his client, when he's talking to his client, they're talking about the latest app and the thing that really changed their life, you know. So yes, it's definitely the change that we're into right now, not cyclical at all.
Well, and of course, for our Control Trends community, the cyclical change, you try to time the cycle. Structural change, you change or you die.
That's so, it. Yep.
There's some very interesting comments, but you know, I always try to come away with something to summarize. And just what's been said so far here is we have, you know, change. We have agents of change. So we see specifications can change. You know, what we're doing. Users, so specifications from the engineering community, the enlightened engineers, the users, the enlightened users, the RealCom educated users. We have new open thinkers like Brad, who now takes the best means available to get what needs to be done and uses the newest technology. Then you have the IoT devices, where you have technology that wasn't available, or the barriers of entry to that technology have been removed almost entirely, so it's available immediately. We're seeing a lot of startup companies that are able to get to market so much faster than ever before. And then the vendor muscle seems to have diminished a little bit, you know, where they would control the industry and rate of change by sunset and sunrise of products, you know. So the question I wanted to just kind of summarize that thing is, of those agents of change and the percentage of their control or their rate to change, which one do you think out of those agents of change has the most influence now, right now, 2019? Is that a question that you guys followed there or whatever, Ken? Do you think the vendors still kind of control the rate of change, or?
No, I don't think so. The other thing that I think we're all viewing ourselves wrong, you're viewing yourself as products are important. We've fallen into the point that products have no significance at all because they change so rapidly. And Brad pointed it out in his last interview that's the reason why he wants to take some of this back into his consulting firm, just to provide some stability to it, because every project is completely different with complete equipment. But the big thing that we all have, everybody on the four windows here, is it's all about people. And Control Trends, your supply companies are all about is it's about the people. And the fact that I can phone somebody and they can get me a product, and if they can't get me that product, they can get me this other product that is actually interchangeable and it works. And for Brad, it's the same thing, is to get his people that can actually go out to a site and install one of these boxes and gather this data and then come back and look at it with their cell phone and route it over to a database and then go back and show the client what they've done. That's people. Don't focus on the technology. The technology is significance.
I would have to challenge that a little bit, because, you know, to me, like the industry, and the reason why I say this, Eric and I have just gone through some historical review of our industry and our Hall of Famers. And I remember the direct coupled actuator, the impact it made on our industry and how it removed modular motors literally from the equation. And even though that wasn't a great technology, it was the adoption rate. Now, so, and then we see some other amazing technology coming out, like EZIO, for instance, came out with an FS32. So it's a quad core processor, and it's now the fastest thing. And now everybody has followed some kind of a suit there, where they've got an edge controller that has got a lot of things inherent to it. They've removed some of the hardness of the software engineering tools or whatever that used to be more expensive. So I agree with you that the people are probably the most important aspect of the equation, but the IoT products and the products that we have seen come into being here in the last 4 years from the product perspective have been the actual implementation of change, because it's become less expensive to get what Brad wants through the products. So I don't want to, like, I'm not arguing. I'm just saying that I would say that I would put my rate of change or my my chips on the fact that what has led to so much change to us has been the ability and the adoption of the technology that's available to make HTML5 a reality in our frameworks and stuff. That's really what, when we go through and look at the products 10 years ago and today, what an incredible sweep we've seen.
I mean, what I see happening, and I kind of agree with everything that's being said here, but from my perspective, it looks like the barrier between kind of traditional IT technology and building controls technology, that barrier is dropping, and the products are more and more starting to look like one another. And I think the ultimate,
I would agree with that.
Yeah, and I think the ultimate conclusion of that trend is that they become the same products, and that you've got plugins to do actuators and the physical end devices, of course, you still need, but the hardware that does the computation, it's all the same. It's going to be the same. So, I mean, we're heading towards the commodification of that, like it is in the IT industry. I mean, at the end of the day, often you don't care if you buy an Intel processor or an AMD processor or whatever, right? You kind of buy what does the job the best, and it's the cheapest at that moment, and that may be a totally different answer next year. But
Last thing I'm going to say is, because I didn't mean to throw sand in your wheel or gear there. What I meant was that your themes in October and November were about these IoT products that were sensational because it didn't need any permissions. It was a permissionless development. But we saw in this year's control trends, products that came out of other industries are now being used, to the point where they were suggested to be the product of the year, the IoT innovation and solution of the year. Somebody had the audacity to throw a Raspberry Pi in there. I mean, come on,
Then a bunch of people had the audacity to vote for it too. So
that's what I mean. So to me, that means holy smokes, this is for real.
Right. Well, I think what makes this really hard for the traditional players is they have legacy products they have to support. I mean, it almost seems like it'd be easier to have an entry point into this now without a huge backlog of products that you have to support. So I think that's a whole other thing that shifts it. But and talking about shifting it,
just one thing, if I can wedge a point in here, is okay, if we all believe everything, and I very much believe what Brad said, is that the products are becoming, you can't tell the difference between, in fact, they're using a whole bunch of products that have nothing to do with our industry altogether. But what that says, that if our only resource is people, then our people have to start thinking like IT people, or a lot closer to the way IT people think. And if you're able to make that transition and then carry forward all the experience you have with connecting to buildings, I mean, you guys, all your people are so valuable. I think what's happening is you guys are going through a stage where you're seeing the value of your products dropping, and this is kind of concerning you. But I think what you need to do is step back and say, as the price and the amount of distribution we're going to do drops, the actual value of our people is going up, because they actually understand all of these little pieces and which pieces fit where. And then as Brad said, we're still connecting this stuff to pneumatic. So we'll be still connecting this stuff to the stuff you're selling for the next 20 years. So don't worry about that. But somebody that has the knowledge to do that, and then in the middle of all of that, say that, really for this project, I'd recommend you buy one of those new IT devices. And, you basically have a hook and a handle on that. But I think what you then start doing is you start charging for the time to come up with that kind of a solution.
Brad's loving hearing that, being a consulting engineer. We'll just start charging for the time instead of,
right? Yeah.
Well, can you write?
It's a business model that works, guys.
Yeah. Well, and Scott Cochran's, his theme, and I read his article about the bumpy times ahead.
I think this is the bumpy we're discussing. I think this is exactly what Scott's talking about. Is
well, you know,
this is going to be bumpy. Yeah.
Well, and the reason why I get such a kick out of what we're doing here is because like we did the year in review kind of an episode back, and we're seeing how the trends that used to be so high and so active, all of a sudden went off the table, and new trends came in and emerging. And we had the Amazon effect, and we've gone through some very incredible, interesting trends that hit, and then we try to see, does this stick to the walls of our industry, or is this just a pass through? We saw the managed services come up, and become a very serious, and people were actually moving towards managed services, but they weren't calling it managed services. We saw the flattening architecture of where we used to have, when we pull out our product portfolio charts, you had field level devices, you had supervisory devices, you had the server devices, and then you had your big big computer server thing, or now instead of go to cloud, seeing that shrink down to the capability, these little tiny things have IP addresses and they can talk to the web through the presence of Wi-Fi everywhere, and it is really changed some very, very, some of the more lucrative aspects of that product portfolio have now been removed or they're commoditized to the point where the traditional folks have lost that business. And I agree with you 100%, Ken, you have to move into the knowledge aspect, but it's so different. It's so difficult to monetize that most people haven't done it or can't do it or won't do it. And they just refuse to kind of budge. And they're the ones that are putting the headwinds up that we're trying to talk about right now.
Right. Well, I wanted to
actually my next article, I was just fumbling around there to get to the last paragraph, because the last paragraph is about a word I'd never heard of called cervication. Basically what it is let me read it.
I think I went to jail once for that.
Smart building as a service is what it is. So,
listen, this has been great dialogue, and I want to get to some other things here. So speaking of people, let's shift to the people in the buildings, because Ken, I think you really hit a trend early on. I think we're going to see it going into 2019 and beyond, this whole digital mindfulness concept, and for our community, sort of give them a brief overview of that, but I think you're really hitting on a trend. And then Brad, I'd sort of like to get your perspective also on how you're seeing this show up with your clients. Are they asking for this? Is this something you see as a business opportunity to grow your business type thing?
You're asking about my clients or?
No. Brad's client.
Brad's client. Okay, good.
This whole thing, Brad, about the digital mindfulness that you sort of have laid out, Ken. I think you were the first one to sort of raise your hand and say, hey, buildings are changing. They'd be more democratic. Yeah,
specifically, when you went to that Nordic meeting and you came back, Ken, you were on fire with the concept of a building. The whole idea of a relationship to the building's changed. The building has emotions that we can, and you were using the verb versus the noun, about things. So I think, Eric, is that what you're getting at?
Exactly.
Okay.
Yeah, actually, yeah. Okay. So at the North, the Helsinki, Nordic, that's the word I'm looking for, Nordic building, smart building convention, I met
Lawrence Arapo, right?
Yeah.
Good job, Eric. You pulled that one out of a hat.
Well, no. I was saying, I was reading Kent's article about him, because he talked about
Dr. Lawrence. Dr. Lawrence.
Dr. L.
APRO. And anyway, so he was talking about digital mindfulness, and I got to admit, actually, he did an interview of me before we went to that thing, and I got to admit, I had no idea what he was talking about. But that what I typically call the Helsinki head shake kind of opened my mind to a bunch of that stuff. And he's actually just he's speaking with us in Atlanta, and he's just put together an article, and it's called Creating Digital Mindful Spaces. And it's good. And he's doing a lot of work with Google as well. And he's incredibly busy right now. He's actually, after our session, he's back, and he's he leaves us, and he has another appointment in Switzerland the next day. So his life is crazy. I'm not sure that he's actually bringing out the dream of his digital mindfulness in his own life. It sounds pretty torturous, but he does point out that we need to bring this humanistic side out, and it's an excellent time to do it because we're changing everything. Sure. We're changing how we do business. We're changing how we interface with the people. We're allowing the people to have a relationship, basically bringing out their feelings through social media. And so it's almost like a blank sheet. So now we just have to shake our heads and think, how can we do this with not annoying the people and basically supporting them and having these things make their life better? And that's a tough task for us. But I think at least if we think about it, it's something. Can you kind of comment about the reality of that, like how that might work or not? Right.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I mean, it's a tough one. It's something, I mean, I've been, similarly, I think the message that that Lawrence is promoting is bang on. And you see, you can see how technology is changing how people interact. Again, the industry is lagging, and we saw I think the first steps in this direction with products like Comfy, that they very much are in this space. I mean, that's what they're trying to do, is bring that human connection to the buildings. Now, I mean, they're one product and fairly early to market, and I think we're going to start to see others. I've connected with a couple of people who are working on developing software products that are kind of in the same space, to allow, basically the people in the building to have, better interactions and to provide value back to the building owners, in the sense of, get a sense of how your people are feeling about your building, and then try to actually put some numbers to that in terms of, does this have an impact on our productivity, to provide something. Feelings are great, but I mean, we all know that at the end of the day, it's dollars that make the world go round. So if you can make that connection between that emotion and what that means in terms of the bottom line for your business, then, well, maybe you can use that to justify actually doing something to improve the number of hot and cold complaints that you're getting in the building. If rather than just living with that situation, if you know that that's costing, $100,000 a year in lost productivity, well, suddenly there's a lot more of a motivation to actually make an investment to correct that situation.
Actually, the one point I wanted to make was a point you made last year that stuck in my mind as you were talking about the Vancouver transit system, I think. And you said, if the train is late, you don't bother calling the transit system. You just go on Twitter, and basically the people will tell you what the problem is, where the door is stuck, and where the car is. And so the transportation system has become people-driven. And I that just stuck in my mind, and I think that's where we're heading with the buildings, is we want the buildings to be people driven. So when something happens that a big box got left and is holding the elevator on the 15th floor and there's no elevator, we only are down to third elevator service, that we immediately get that by the people who are running the building, not the fact that the maintenance guy actually notices that there's a big lineup of people. So that whole interaction, I think, is great. And I think you did a good job of bringing that out in our discussions last year.
Well, I remember the collaboratorium you had, I'd say it was about 3 years ago at HR, and you were coming up with some of these ideas, and building metrics and lighting metrics were coming up. And a lot of people were very slow. In fact, there was some people that said, that's those metrics are meaningless or whatever, and it took a while. But I think the idea that technology has allowed the occupants to communicate with the building automation system directly by applications like comfy, where you say I'm cold, I'm hot, I'm comfortable. That in turn leads to the most accurate VAV zoning control. It gives you occupancy, location. It gives you data that suddenly becomes important to somebody else that you really didn't think about in the first place. Not only does the occupant feel as though they've got a real meaningful attachment to the building or communication to the building through their technology, their smart device. I remember I read a book about this woman who said that trees communicate, and then a maple tree, when it's infected by insects or whatever, it sounds the alarm to other trees that it's battling. It produces chemicals that other trees share information, and she was laughed at and scoffed. And these scholars from Yale, these dendrologists said, that's ridiculous or whatever. And then 20 years later, after she was scoffed at and lost her way in the industry, they proved her correct. And I think some of the things that you've come out, Ken, was that they're not really controversial, but they seem so not far-fetched, but they don't seem to have any immediate bearing, but they do. We're going to see very soon that more applications are going to take that emotional aspect. I mean, architects have been doing it forever. We did that series, Eric, remember, with Frank Lloyd Wright, and he built this thing where, architects tried to bring the outside inside, give people, a place of comfort, because the whole idea is productivity happiness, 92% of your time's in a building.
Right. Well, what I hear Ken saying and Brad, you too, is thinking about the building differently and thinking about the building as a platform that can connect people. Right. So that you can share that information, to your point earlier, it makes everything more efficient. Is that a fair statement, Brad?
I think Kenny hit it right on the head with communication. It's about open and transparent communication. So suddenly things that were very hard to know in the past, they're on Twitter. It's there for everyone to see.
Another one that came up in Helsinki was the concept of deviceless interface. And I kind of had to scratch my head as to what the heck they were talking about there. And we're so orientated to pushing a button, grabbing an app on our phone and to communicate with things. But what they talked about is a more mindful experience is one where there's no device involved. And they say, well, where would you have that? When you would talk to the building, and of course, with Google, Hey Googles, and Amazon Echoes, we're now talking to the building, turning lights on and stuff. But we can also talk to the building and tell the building how we feel. We could actually have a gripe section that we on a chat bot and start sending that stuff there. And then Calvin started writing a little thing on machine vision, and I started scratching my head, what the heck is that all about? Like I say, what these kids are thinking is just amazing, and every one of them, when I talk to them, they tell me it's not me, it's what the kids that I'm working with are thinking. But anyway, the machine vision is the whole idea that we put sensors in our edge devices that record video, and that becomes every phone has 2, 3, 4, 5 cameras in them. They're so cheap, they become cheaper than temperature sensors, and so we can actually put them in there. Once we do, we can do analytics, and we can actually see how many people are in the room, how dark is the room, do the people like the shade. I'm fighting here. The sun's coming through my blind here and putting these marks on my face. But and I don't have a deviceless thing that I can say, hey, drop the shade a little bit more. But you can kind of see that whole relationship of basically we now have devices that can start sensing some of the same things. That would have been a common thing. If we had an edge device that was sitting here looking at me, as soon as it saw that, it says, ooh, that's not normal. I should turn the shade a little bit more and get that off his face, or it's going to annoy him. That's the kind of digital mindfulness that is going to evolve in our industry.
I think it's right on. And you guys, we're right at 50 minutes, and it's been a great conversation. But before we end,
I got one more too, Eric. We got to give Brad one more credit, and that was the thing you did there with the British Ministry. Tell us about that experience. Were you a little bit nervous when you were in front of those people, or was how did that all happen? Was that
So I guess you're referring to. I was recently in front of a
provides expert testimony to the Canadian House of Commons that a revolution in energy efficiency in existing buildings is achievable. I mean, that's a noble, that's a mouthful, but I mean, that's got to be a thrill, huh?
Yeah, and basically, you know, the equivalent of going to before a, you know, a committee of Congress or something like that is kind of our equivalent up here. And they're basically trying to set a national policy around energy efficiency and, you know, the economic impact of that on the country and also how it contributes to Canada's climate change goals more broadly. So, yeah, I'm incredibly nervous. I've never done anything like that before.
Yeah, that was very impressive.
It was an interesting experience, and you know, I feel like I was able to deliver a good message around the fact that I think, you know, there is tremendous economic opportunity in energy.
Well done. Okay.
And hopefully they listened to some of that, and we see the investment. There certainly was a lot of questions around, you know, wanting to protect kind of the old economy too, and, you know, how does this impact on existing businesses, and what does that mean? But I think really the opportunity is growing new businesses out of this, and that there's tremendous opportunity.
Nice, so. Nice. Well, boys, I tell you what, as we wind it down for our community, if you want more on these great topics, hopefully you're coming to AHR in Atlanta, and if you are, both Brad and Ken Sinclair have sessions that they'll be hosting. So, fellas, as we round this out, Brad, why don't we start with you? What session are you going to be at? What day and time? And then, Ken, you're doing several. Let's tell our community about how they can get more information.
Yeah, so I'll be in three sessions. Two are with Ken, and one is Ken already alluded to with Scott Cochran on our opening session, and that'll be on Monday. And then on Tuesday, we've got in the morning, it's another session with on sort of the emotion of buildings. And that's together, again, another session with Ken and Therese Sullivan from Tritium. And then the afternoon on Tuesday, around noon hour, I've got another session with, and this is a particular interest maybe to this crowd, is on open hardware and open software. And I'm moderating that session. We've got a really interesting panel. We've got Calvin from ACCS, Zach Nestoff from Contemporary Controls, and Nicholas Warren, who's from a Swedish company called Go IoT. It's a really good combination of consultants and product manufacturers and integrators. I think it's going to be a really great conversation.
Sounds great. Sounds great for sure. What about you, Ken Sinclair? What do you got going on?
Okay, well, as Brad mentioned, we open up with Scott Cochran, a favorite of yours as well, and the three of us talk about the future of building automation and creating our new persona, Building the Motion. And then
is that on Monday?
That's Monday. Yep, yeah. Monday at 9 o'clock. Yeah. Okay. Okay. Then the 14th, January 14th. And then we've got two education sessions. The first one is an introduction to building automation systems. Kimberly Brown and Scott Cochran. So, I mean, that's pretty high grade folks to get you involved in automation. And Kim, who sets up the AHR, these were her requests. She said, How do people learn how to talk funny like you? And, you know, and we all struggle with education, and Brad struggles with education of his people. And but she wanted to have something that people could come across the floor. I'm an electrician and I want to learn how to get into building automation. So anyway, that's an introductory course they've got going. And then we've got our old friend, Scott Bowen, yeah. Mm-hmm. And he's doing a building automation. It's kind of picks up and gets a little bit more into, you know, more of the analytics and some stuff like that. You can imagine with a Tritium background what it's going to be. And then we've got this one with Lawrence, Dr. Lawrence, Smart Environments for Humans. And if you have time, I would really like you to read the article. I've been pushing him for this article for the last 2 to 3 months, and it finally got done. And it's worth a read, because you can kind of get an insight as to what he's going to talk about. And Lawrence is doing some amazing stuff. He's working with Google right now, and they're starting to get a hold of this digital mindfulness. He's in a very hot space right now. There's a lot of people are sort of, oh yes, you know, even if you just listen to the words and use your own interpretation of what you think digital mindfulness might be, it's probably better than what you're doing.
Right. Well, we had him on the show, interviewed him. He's very articulate, a fascinating individual. So there's actually a video interview we did with Dr. Lawrence. He's great. I read the article, Ken. You're absolutely right. It's jam on.
Yeah.
And I tell you what, I can't tell you guys how much we appreciate you coming on the show. Ken Sinclair, automatedbuildings.com. The January issue's out. Check it out. Check him out at AHR. Brad White, sesconsulting.com. Is that the best website?
That's right. Yep.
For you guys. Guys, thanks so much for taking some time to be on the show.
Thanks, guys.
All right. Well, good stuff again from Ken and Brad. Look forward to seeing you guys. We probably won't have a show next week because we'll be doing the Control Trends Awards that Sunday night. So we appreciate you tuning in. Again, special thanks to our guest Brad White and Ken Sinclair. So Kenny, remember, be bold, stay in control, and it's 2019. So if you're not staying relevant yet, it might be too late.
Indeed, Eric.
Indeed, Kenny Smyers.